Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, it's Sun Belt Conference Tournament Week for the basketball teams. We'll talk about that, recap the final week of the regular season. The full football schedule is out. Not every game will be on a Saturday this year. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Busy stretch for baseball as well, but we're going to start with track and field. The Sun Belt Indoor Championships were held in Birmingham last week. As a team, the men ended up finishing second. The women placed fourth. Lots of amazing individual performances, though. On the women's side, Michelle Ogbemudia winning the weight throw. She also set the meet record and was named the Sun Belt Conference Field Performer of the Year. Carly Pujol ended up setting the meet record in the pole vault, so she won gold. And then on the men's side, former podcast guest Colby Eddowes winning gold in the heptathlon for the second straight year. He was named the Field Performer of the Year as well. Will Glass winning the 60-meter hurdles. Noah Isaiah winning the weight throw. And Jacob Pyatt finishes as a winner of double gold. He took the 3,000 and the 5,000 meters. He finished as the high point scorer on the men's side. And here to talk about all that, it's the senior from Mountain Home himself. It's Jacob Pyatt.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. And I'm glad you were able to come in and talk about all this. So how does that sound? Double gold winner.
You know, I think I got a lot of second place trophies to get there.
Paid your dues.
Oh, yeah. Bronze and silver every year for the last 3 or 4 years before I finally got the first medal. A gold medal I got was cross just recently this year. So it's only my third one.
You're having a heck of a year, though.
You know, on paper, it's a good year. And even in my, you know, just all things considered, it's a great year. Yeah, 13:38. That's an insane time. I never thought I'd run.
Hang on. There's some sort of, I'll go back to the psychology of you saying on paper, which means there's something about this year that doesn't do it for you yet.
His undergrad is in psychology, by the way.
Yeah.
I think I could have ran better in Boston. And I think I held myself back a little bit being in a heat where I thought, oh, these guys are, there's these big power four guys, you know, Dean Casey, really great runners. I thought, I don't know if I belong in this heat, maybe. As soon as the gun went off, we were two or three laps in. I was second to last. And then Jesse was like, you got these guys. And, I mean, if you go back and watch the video, I'm passing guys six, seven people at a time throughout the race. So I think it could have been a little better. And I think it sounds maybe a little conceited, but when you got a really, like, elite mindset as an athlete, it's really hard to be super happy. Like, not happy, of course. Of course I'm happy with 13:38, but you always see the little things. I could have went a second faster had I not been in second to last at 1K.
You mentioned all the second and thirds throughout your career. Now you're a senior, and it just seems to be kind of all clicking. It's coming together.
Yes,
so
sir.
What is it this year that's kind of changed for you?
The difference in training from freshman year to now. Coach Jesse is great.
Jesse Duval.
He evolves just right along with the sport. You know, like recently a lot of pros have switched to what's called double threshold. So whereas maybe freshman, sophomore year, we would do a morning run that's just kind of a regular run, not really anything special, and then workouts in the evening. Now we're doing two workouts on workout day. So wake up, workout at like 9 a.m. and then do our second one at like 3 or 4. And just being able to get more volume in really has taken my training to the next level. I peaked out at like 110 miles per week for like 2 or 3, 4 weeks.
That what you're at, Bobo? Or
I drove a long way this weekend.
Yeah, you did. You're way over there,
yeah,
weren't
you? He needs to get after it.
People always hear that number, and you can even ask Jesse. He loves to talk about it. When I was a freshman, I'm like, my coach from high school was talking about how he used to run 100 miles a week in college. I'm like, I'm never doing that. I'll never
and
do
now
that
you
no
are.
Matter what. Now I'm doing more than that. You know, I'm doing even more. But once you start really grinding the miles away. It kind of feels like clockwork. It's honestly really enjoyable. Just throw on the headphones, go run 6, 7, 8, 10 miles in the morning, 10 more that night.
Well, what do you listen to when you're running?
Chili Peppers, some rap, mostly classic rock, though.
Are Chili Peppers classic rock now?
Well,
I guess they
that's
are.
Close, yeah, that's yeah. 90s, maybe not really grunge, I guess, but yeah. You know,
we love the Chili Peppers.
Leonard Skinner,
we grew up
and
in
Led Zeppelin.
They were in their prime.
Yeah, yeah. My dad had a lot of influence with the music I listened to. If you
can't tell. Yeah. But he's our age. How old's your dad?
67. So
oh,
he
thank
be.
Goodness.
Yeah.
He was born in 67 yeah. or he is 67?
He was born in 67.
Either way, all right.
Yeah.
He's an old
he was
dude.
Born in 67.
All right, good. He's a lot
He's getting
that.
Close to 60, so which is crazy. Crazy number.
Was he an athlete? Your parents?
Yeah, he played football. Played football. My mom was a basketball player. But
okay, so nobody, both athletes.
Yeah, yeah, but never really, not really distance endurance sports, really. That's what surprised them. They're like, you want to do cross country?
How did you get there?
Funny enough, I was 6 foot, 140 pounds. I didn't really enjoy football. I was getting tossed around like a ragweed, so I was like, you know.
Receiver?
Yeah, wide out, a lot of blocking plays, not a lot of passing plays. Our coach did not throw the ball. So I was like, you know, as thrilling as this is, just getting, like I said, just kind of thrown around at will, I was like, maybe my talents would be better used elsewhere. So that was my junior year. It was the first year I ran cross.
All right, junior year of high school.
Yes, sir.
At Mountain Home.
Oh, yeah. Go Bombers.
You're a Bomber. All right, so that's when you got into it then.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, a lot later than most people, because a lot of the kids on the team, they've been running since they were in like 7th, 8th grade. I mean, I did track, but it wasn't really serious. I would just kind of show up, you know. I'd show up and run 30 minutes with my buddies and then go home, and it wasn't super focused on any kind of actual distance running back then. But junior year is whenever it kind of took off. I really enjoyed the actual distance side of things.
So you were just running to compete, I'm guessing.
Yeah, running for fun, basically running to compete. All of my friends were on the team, throwers, sprinters. I had friends in every event group, so it was kind of almost like a social club, you know? We would just kind of run together, so yeah.
You still do the other distance stuff?
Yeah, I would do like at that point when I was like, I think 9th grade, I would do like the 800, the 1600, the shorter of the distance events, I guess middle distance. But as I got older, I realized my talents were definitely... I had more talent, definitely, for, like, the longer stuff, which is still true now. I'm looking to get into the half marathon after college.
Well, I know we're kind of bouncing around, but yeah. I did want to ask, like, is a marathon in the works? I mean, down the line? Or
I do not. I mean, obviously, if my career goes the way I hope it does, for sure. I'm looking, hopefully, L.A. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Still got 3 years, but that would be a lot of fun to run the marathon in L.A., but... I think a half marathon is a good place to start just in terms of non-NCAA distances. Like, obviously, I love the 10K, and I still want to compete in the 10K and 5K doing that. Hopefully, maybe world championship at some point. Yeah, I think the half marathon is a really good starting place.
At 13.1, and you said that's a distance, you're comfortable to go run, you do that.
That's the thing. Like, a lot of guys really struggle their first marathon, so I kind of want to keep it at bay. I don't want to go make myself look like a fool and have to drop out or anything. So I think... 13.1, I'm pretty sure I could stay locked in for that amount of miles.
I kind of want to go back to high school real quick.
Yes, sir.
When did you realize that this could be something that could be a little bit more serious? When did you realize you were good at this?
Funny enough, it was in Jonesboro. It was like the conference meet, I can't even remember what year, I think 9th grade. And I ran the mile and the 1600, and I medaled for both, but from the slow heat. So I did it just by myself. Like, there was kids behind me in the race, but I was, you know, I was just running by myself, and I still ran, I don't know the times anymore, but I got medals, which back then was like, I just medaled? And I just kind of show up to practice, you know? And my coach, Ryder Pierce, shout out to Coach Ryder Pierce, he's why I'm the athlete I am today. He went over to my mom, he's like, that guy's a distance runner. Maybe not right this second, but he will be a distance runner. He's the one who told me I should do the 5K in college, and even back... As a freshman, I didn't believe him because as a freshman in high school or in college, I would run the 8 and the mile still. He's known for a while. He's got a crystal ball or something.
When did Arkansas State enter the picture?
About winter of my senior year, I ran in February at the U of A at their indoor track. I ran 4:34 in the mile and then 2:02 in the 800, which kind of was really what got the ball spinning on me, being like, okay, college is definitely a possibility now. So I just, I had Jesse's number because we saw him at Regionals Cross. We went and watched just, you know, as high schoolers because it's really cool. So I had his number from that, and I texted him, and then we got talking, came on a visit, decided this is where I wanted to be.
Well, it's definitely worked out for you, and it's amazing just the progression and how close you've come and how – and you've already talked about the things that you've done this year that have made a difference. But when Coach Duvall's giving you this new program – mm-hmm. Do you just go all in with it? Did it take you a while to be convinced that, hey, this is what's going to take me to another level?
Everyone, you know, anytime you get like a new kind of training that's very drastically different, I think anyone would question it. But I trust Jesse 100%. Everything he does, I'm all about. And I think, and like he says, you can have a horrible coach. Not that he's a bad coach, but you can, you know, hypothetically, you can have a bad coach. And if you believe what they give you to train on, I think you can be fast. So it's even better when you have a coach who does know what they're talking about and you trust them 100%.
I was hearing you describe your ninth grade conference meet.
Yes, sir.
And you said you won it from the slow heat.
I didn't win, but I medaled.
You medaled.
Yes, sir.
It almost sounded like you were talking about the conference cross-country meet this year. You won it from the slow heat compared to everybody else. So did you think about just like maybe keep going to see if you could lap somebody?
At some point, I mean, the plan was just go out, take it from go, don't even make it possibility anyone else is there. And so it's a 4-lap course. It's 2K per lap. Sometime on the second lap, I just kind of looked around and was like, well,
did I take a wrong turn?
Well, there was one guy with me. Now there's no one with me.
I'm gonna ask, did you stop and go to the bathroom during that race?
You know, I might have been able to get away with that, but I'm not that vain. I was watching it back with my roommates on ESPN Plus, and I was like, again, I don't like to sound conceited, but I didn't realize they were that far away from me. I was, you know, when you finish, and by the time I turned around, my teammate Nazi was coming down the home stretch. So it didn't feel like he was, but on the video, we were coming around the backside of the course, and it looked like he was 300 meters behind me.
If you haven't watched it on ESPN Plus, I did to get ready for this interview. So Jacob finishes, they go to a commercial break. Yeah. Come back and then see the dude coming across for a second.
Yeah, I was. And at one point, they have this crazy camera angle down the backstretch where it's just like me, and then in the distant background, you can see everyone else. And I was like, huh.
And that was the day where you guys said, screw pacing it. Just
No, there was not really no holds barred. I mean, we were just. I knew my fitness was better. I mean, I hate sounding conceited because it's not a good look. But, you know, when you're really confident in your training, very confident in your fitness, it lets you race a lot, lot better. I knew that they were going to try to go with me, at least one or two people, but I knew nobody was going to beat me.
What you need to do, you need to get a still photo, blow it up, frame it, put it in a really prominent spot in your house. And that's what I would do from that meet with nobody inside behind.
I do have a picture of me at Nationals that my mom got me for Christmas that says it's got the little crest on it and it's got my time and my place, just kind of
okay,
because I mean, I'm a kid from Mountain Home. I don't know that anyone from Mountain Home's ever made Nationals as an individual in cross country. I think we've had some former runners go as a team, but as an individual, I would say it's only four people from the entire South Central region that get to go as an individual. So it's definitely something that my whole career I looked forward to, didn't think was ever going to be possible. So got a nice little poster on my wall.
You finish, before we started recording, you were telling us, I mean, you finished top half at the national cross country meet.
But yes, sir.
There were too many people. There's so many more people than you're used to racing against.
So in 2023, they went out in 2:30 for the 1K in Virginia, which is like 4 flat mile pace. So me and Coach Jesse were like, we'll go out a little more conservative, try to get more people on the second half of the race when they've probably gone out too hot. Well, it turns out they didn't go out too hot. They went like 2:50 through the 1K at Madison, which is pretty much the pace I was running already. And I think had I gone out a little more aggressively, I could have placed better. But once I realized around 2 or 3 kilometers in, like, it's really hard to go around people right now. It's a lot of people on the course, and it's a wide course, so you could go around them if you really needed to, but it's just a lot of bodies to go around.
Well, and to back it up, you were telling us before we started recording that you didn't even have a chance to get your heart rate where it normally would have been.
Like I said, normally, like the Boston 5K I ran in 2 or 3 weeks ago, where I ran 13:38, my average heart rate was somewhere between like 187, 190 for pretty much the whole thing. And there it was only 175. I didn't feel like I gave a full effort, but all things considered, it's nationals. And I was just going to enjoy it more so than be super picky about my time.
It's one of the things I've always been fascinated by over the years as we talked with these track athletes is, you know, you look at football and it's 4 to 6 A to B. So everything is about max effort. I look at women's basketball and the way they do things with the 5 in, 5 out. You go as hard as you can go for these 2 minutes and you're coming out. The psychology in track is always interesting to me because you have to, especially in your discipline, you have to be able to pace yourself, not even just within a race, but also kind of the way you guys schedule out your training and how many times your coach has come in here and said, well, we don't even have so-and-so scheduled to peak until after the conference meet because we want them to be ready for nationals.
Me and my roommates talk about this all the time, like just why some people can run a sub-4 mile but not run a 15-minute 5K, but then some people can run a 13:50 5K but they can't run a sub-4 mile. It's kind of like someone can do one, you kind of expect them to do the other. The best way I can explain it is like your RPMs. You kind of have this pace where you can sit under red line, and that's where you want to be, but if during the race you go over that red line, it's really hard to like keep it up. So for instance, if like during the middle of a 5K for 100, 200 meters, I just took off sprinting, I go over the red line, it's extremely, extremely difficult to bring your heart rate back down and then keep it back down. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have this threshold that you have to sit in where you're giving a lot of effort and it isn't per se max effort. I mean, it feels like max effort, but if you were giving a max effort and like sprinting per se, it would just ruin your race. So it's like it's a very weird place to be between max effort and almost max effort. And there's not words really to give it. You kind of just have to be a distance runner to understand, I guess. But
and to me, it makes sense that then, like you said earlier, that you're studying psychology.
Yeah.
Kind of weaves into that, doesn't it?
I've always been fascinated with like psychology. I wanted to go kind of criminology. I've always maybe thought I could be an FBI agent or something like that. I loved Criminal Minds growing up, stuff like that. But the more I got into it, I did it for my undergrad. I figured I didn't know if I wanted to be a doctor, which is what if you get an undergrad in psychology, you probably should go master's or doctor. And I just didn't know if I wanted to be in a lab or in the actual lab side of things for my career. So I've switched to a master's in business because I think that'll suit me a little better. But my plan right now is, it's really hard to say because, again, I'm going to ask the NCAA for more eligibility. But even beyond that, I've got a cousin who lives in D.C. that I want to go work for, kind of get into politics after I graduate.
Okay.
But hopefully I won't have to do that because I'll be a professional runner.
Let's kind of go into that a little bit. I do want to talk about your goals.
Yes.
And you were saying earlier you're going to appeal, try to get that extra year for cross country next year. But as of right now, this outdoor season is going to be it. Immediate goals as far as this outdoor season.
I always tell my guys that having time goals is bad for them, so I can't be a hypocrite and sit here and say time goals. Outdoor nationals. Like I said, I'm a little superstitious. I feel like if you assign a time to how fast you want to run, if you don't run fast enough or run faster, it leaves you in kind of a weird reaction, I guess. So I usually don't like to assign times, but if I keep running the way I do, I think I should be at outdoor nationals. Regionals is in A&M at Texas A&M. If I run another 5K like I did in Boston, I should be definitely good for regionals, which is top 50 from each side of the United States. They just split it down the Mississippi River. And so it'll be east and west, and the west is at a College Station. So if you get top 12 at that meet, you go to nationals. So top 12 at West Regionals, and I should be good to go.
And then long-term goals. You mentioned L.A.
Yeah.
That's one of your goals. You want to compete in the Olympics.
You know, at the beginning of this year, I thought, you know, depending on how this year goes, I might not run again or I might be a pro runner. It's kind of 50-50, you know. But the more I've ran this year, I'm like, I am definitely going to train post-collegiately. And if I'm going to train post-collegiately, why would I ever sell myself short and not make LA the goal?
I think that's shooting high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good question.
Well,
Arkansas State's got a pretty good track record of having Olympians in L.A., so might as well have
another
one.
That's a really good point, actually.
Yeah. Well, we've had a couple.
A couple of medals out there, so.
Hopefully I can do it
last
again.
Last time it was there.
All right, yeah. Beautiful town. I love L.A. We go to the Brian Clay Invitational every year. It's like the highlight of the year.
It makes sense because a lot of people say Los Angeles and Mountain Home are kind of sister cities.
You know, they're strikingly similar, right? Yeah.
And we've even had an Olympian in this last Olympics with Cameron, Newton Smith, and another former podcast guest. Was really happy for her. And
yeah, she's being an insane able to go. Athlete. I don't know how they do so many events. I mean, I ran three races, but I don't know if three races is the same as seven events. I mean, that's a lot.
You've had an amazing year with what you did during cross-country season. We talked about nationals. That was the best finish in over 50 years for an A-State runner at cross-country nationals. And, you know, talk about the double gold at indoors. That's fantastic. You've shattered the school records in both the 3,000 and the 5,000. Is there something you're most proud of?
I mean, 13:38 is a time I didn't think I'd run ever in my life. I mean, even when I ran 13:55 in December, even then, I didn't know that 13:38 would be possible at all. So, I was just as surprised as everyone else when I came across the finish line. I was just in awe. I still am. I mean, it's still, I'll be in traffic and I'm like, 13:38, guy, that's kind of weird. They don't know they're driving next to a top 50 in the nation guy. So it's definitely, you know, it's even jarring. It's jarring for even me. So, I mean, one of my favorite quotes, we're at the tippity top, but we're only halfway up. So best I've ever been for now, but there's still a lot more room to grow.
I love it. Jacob, it's been great having you
in
today.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys taking the time.
Congrats on all the success and good luck going forward.
Thank you.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Wolves up.
Back on the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Let's talk basketball.
Let's do it.
Big week. Last week, the men wrapped up the regular season with the old Louisiana Road Swing, and pretty neat when you're able to sweep that trip because really hadn't happened too many times over the years. Cajun Dome is a tough place to play, and the Red Wolves were there last Wednesday, came out with an 83-64 win, a game in which, and I don't recall the last time I've seen a team do this, but they were plus 32 on the glass in that game. We out-rebounded the Cajuns 56-24, and a really big reason for that was our man Isaiah Nelson, who, by the way, on Monday was the least shocking recipient ever of the Sun Belt Player of the Week award. But he had a career-high 30 points, 21 rebounds, two block shots in that win on Wednesday. And I was talking about it with Coach Hodson after the game, and I think the thing that kind of blew us both away was he did it in under 30 minutes. It was amazing what he was doing. Just completely dominated that game. Without a doubt, one of the best individual performances in program history.
No, that's a very fair statement. I mean, those are just number thresholds that don't get reached very often at all. And yeah, it just, really, there's not much to say besides he's playing, you know, like we were saying about this time last year, he's playing at even another big time level.
The thing about the 30-20, there's only one other player in Division I this year that has a 30-20 game, and that person did it against a non-Division I opponent. So what Zay did is extremely rare. And
tell me about this next part you got on the sheet
here. There were eight technical fouls in the game. And the thing about it was just silly stuff. I mean, it wasn't, I didn't think emotions were out of hand or anything. I thought I had a sensitive crew there that night. And even Coach Hodson, after the game, he got on with me and said, one of their seniors playing their last game, a guy that's well-respected around the league, Kentrell Garnett, he's their all-time leader in games played, one of their all-time three-point shooters. He said something to Coach Hodson, and where I'm at, I mean, I'm right behind or right beside our bench. He didn't say anything bad towards Coach Hodson, and Coach Hodson didn't say anything bad towards him. And there was an immediate tech, and Coach Hodson said it to me after the game. He didn't think the kid deserved to get teed up, but that was just kind of an example of how it got. It didn't need to be a game with eight technical fouls.
Officials can almost kind of speak that hostility into existence. Like, you end up kind of making it feel chippier than it probably was.
And their interim head coach, Derek Zimmerman, you could tell he was frustrated, and his frustration kind of boiled over. He ended up getting a couple of techs and got thrown out of the ball game, but it wasn't anything just crazy.
Okay.
But still, huge win, 83-64. It was the 21st win of the season, new record for most wins ever in the regular season for the men. And then they followed it up on Friday in Monroe. I'll tell you, before the game, I go up to Coach Hodson. We're about to do our pregame, and he's sitting there. He's talking to Keith Richard, who was about to coach his final home game ever. And they had a nice ceremony for him, but we were able to talk with Coach Richard for a few minutes, and I just told him, you know, how much I enjoyed watching his teams over the years. I even put it out on social media and said, I don't know if there's a coach that has been able to do more with less over the years than he has. And he's always able to somehow make those guys competitive. When he took it over, had a program that was under APR sanctions, they were a few scholarships short, and he turned them around to where he took them to some sort of postseason 4 times out of 5 years. So, yeah, he was able to bring them back to respectability. And I know Coach Brady always felt the same way about him, had a ton of respect for the job he did. But getting to the game itself, we're up pretty comfortably at the half, but Monroe goes on this run early in the second half. They go on an 11-0 spurt. It's 52-51 ULM early in the second half. And then from that point on, we outscore them 43-15 to close the game and end up winning at 94-67. I think the most impressive thing from a team standpoint was the fact that we had 23 assists to just 3 turnovers in that game. When was the last time you saw a game with 3 turnovers?
Not very often.
Joseph Pinion, a big night. He had 21 points. And then Isaiah, incredible again. He finished with 13 points, 19 rebounds. I think I text you.
You did, yeah.
While you were at baseball, I said, it's the first media timeout, and Zay already has 8 rebounds.
Yeah. But I didn't notice he got stuck on 8 for a little bit there after that. But yeah,
he did.
But then he broke on through.
Oh, he did. finished with 19. But this 5-game stretch is unreal. 5 straight double-doubles. During that time, he's averaging just over 18 points, 17.5 rebounds a game. Over 5 games. That's amazing. Now, when we signed off on Friday night, we were still waiting on the final score of the James Madison-Texas State game. And that was a game that started just 30 minutes after our game. So I'm thinking by the time I'm done with post-game and getting the truck, that game's going to be almost over. Well, I was an hour down the road by the time that game finally finished. I was actually listening to the Texas State broadcast, and they end up going to double overtime. We needed Texas State to win, and they beat James Madison. And because of that, the Red Wolves were able to get a share of the Sun Belt Conference regular season title, first time since the 97-98 season that A-State has had a share of a regular season championship. So you're going back 27 years.
I can't remember a time where more people were pulling for one team than people were cheering for Texas State.
I saw your tweet. We're all Bobcats.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even get to see any of our game because I was calling baseball. But I'm sitting at dinner in Jacksonville, Alabama, fist pumping and hooping and hollering, watching Texas State and James Madison. My wife is like, you're an idiot. Hey, that's good stuff right here. We're winning.
Yeah. It's neat to have that regular season championship for many reasons. But a well-deserved banner will be hung next year, and hopefully we've got more banners to hang after this postseason. Gets underway this week. The Red Wolves will go to Pensacola as the number 4 seed. Again, it was a 4-way tie for first, and tiebreakers just worked out to where we're the 4.
Yeah.
We'll begin play Saturday at 5:30 in the quarterfinal round. As far as the women are concerned, what a week on the road for them.
A little bit, I would say, what the men dealt with kind of the emotions of the Keith Richard deal, that turned to about 11 is what the women had to deal with Wednesday at Southern Miss. Most people know what their legendary coach, Joy Lee McNellis, has dealt with from a health standpoint. And they finally, they announced, you know, earlier in this week, she is officially going to retire. It came out right before we played down there. So that was a bit like an emotional powder keg, you know, in terms of like, you knew it stood to reason they were going to play real well. And they did. They came from double digits down in the fourth quarter, got back on top. And then, yeah, Kennedy Montu does it again.
Game-winning three by Stitch. Kennedy Montu, she hit that game-winning three with 4 seconds to go and then got a stop with a second to go, actually a block to end the game. And the Red Wolves win 56-55. And still was kind of shaping up this way.
Yep.
We knew Friday was going to be really important because the winner between A-State and Troy at Troy was going to be the 2 seed and the loser was going to be the 3 seed. Now, why is that important? Because the 2 seed gets the bye all the way to the semifinals. The 3 seed will play in Saturday's quarters.
Yeah. And it's the same deal where, like, I mean, technically we were a game up on them going to Friday. So we were going to be tied for second no matter what, even with a loss. Took a finish tied for second when you're picked 13th. But to go get that win, not just to get that bye, but you have to finish, you know, second outright. Again, when you were picked 13th, nobody knew a thing in the world about you. Nobody thought you're going to be any good. You do stuff weird. You play all these kids. Nobody plays very much. I mean, just all the things to go win that game and be the 2 outright. I mean, that's
you knew you were
going
to get Troy's best shot, and we've talked about it many times, just the kind of job that Shanda Rigby's done in her many years at Troy. I mean, she's built one heck of a program there. And for our girls to go in, and they came out hot. I mean, it was 31-16 yeah. after one quarter.
Yep.
And Troy, you knew they were going to keep making runs, and they made several of them. But
and another one late, you know, kind of unfolded similar to the Southern Miss game there toward the end. Except for this time, just held them off.
Yeah, our girls able to win it 89-85 to sweep the season series. Finished conference play 15-3. Winner Rogers was fantastic, 16 points, 9 rebounds. I think we're still pissed off about that balloon.
Yeah, I hope they took it with them. If I'd have been here, I'd have looked and seen. I bet it came up. And but no, that bunch is the stuff they've done is just crazy. To, again, be picked next to last, finish second alone with that 15-3 record.
Without a doubt, though, it's been an incredible ride, and it's going to keep on going Sunday at 2 in the semifinal round, and looking forward to seeing how they do in Pensacola. Now, we do want to add that the all-conference teams have been announced. On the men's side, Terran Todd, a first-team selection, and Isaiah Nelson named to the third team. And on the women's side, Zion Shannon named second-team all-conference, Chrislyn Rose named to the third team.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same: you first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact, spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T, club.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping supporting our programs right now. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. The full football schedule is out.
Yeah.
Of course, we all knew about the non-conference games and everything coming up. You know, SEMO, Arkansas, Iowa State, Kennesaw State. Those are your first 4 weeks. You got your conference opponents, but we know dates now. It was announced that the Red Wolves will have 2 midweek games, and it's the first time in the Butch Jones era that we've had midweek games.
I'll be honest with you, just in totality, I like this schedule. I like the home schedule. I like not just who's on it, but I like the way it's laid out. Even though it's a little bit wonky, you got to do some procedural things. I like that last home game being on a Thursday night because our students are still on campus. They would not have been if it was on Saturday. We had 3 home games. Our last 3 home games last year on weekends where our students were not on campus. We got none of that this year.
Yeah, that's good. And that first midweek game, Tuesday night, it's at South. It's right there where you would normally see a Sun Belt midweek game on October 14th. And then you mentioned the final home game being on a Thursday night against the Cajuns.
Yep.
So you got a rivalry game, final home game of the season. I guess we'll do all the senior stuff that night.
Well, and honestly, we haven't had that conversation yet with Coach to just see how he wants to do it. But
you got a decision to make there. But it's their final home game regardless. And, you know, it's got a chance to mean a whole lot. And there was a stretch for a long time. There were a lot of years in a row.
Yes.
Where the Red Wolves and Cajuns always played in the midweek because that was the matchup. You know, I think we're getting back towards that. And it's very possible that that game means a whole lot. But, you know, one thing that kind of stood out, and you may have more on this than I do. Usually those Sun Belt midweek games are in October. I don't remember one coming that late in the season.
I'm with you. I don't really either, but you're right. And you have to be all the way down to, that game is 1 week before Thanksgiving. That is a little bit of a new look too, I think. And I certainly don't remember us playing in one like that.
All right, baseball.
Yep.
They just wrapped up a stretch where they played 8 games in 8 days. They were swept at Jacksonville State over the weekend. I know you were there calling this series. And rough start on Friday. They end up losing that game 10-0. I know Coach Silva was disappointed with the effort after that game, but got a better effort Saturday and Sunday. Unfortunately, lost those 2 games, each by 1 run, 8-7 on Saturday, and then 7-6 in 12 innings on Sunday.
Yeah, and just had late leads in both and just you didn't do the things to get out of there. I mean, had every right to win the series, even after getting run ruled on Friday night. Still had every right to win the series. And so that's disappointing where we're like, he was mad about the effort Friday night. That's just the accurate way to put it. Yeah. He was hurt for his guys Saturday and Sunday that they didn't get the win. He was proud of their effort. He knows that the execution in some spots wasn't there. And that series, it wouldn't have taken much at all for it to have gone quite a bit different.
Now, there's already been a scheduling change for this week. Tuesday's scheduled home game against Little Rock has been postponed due to the weather forecast. And that'll be made up on April 2nd. That's a Wednesday night and will be a 6:00 start. Another scheduling change for this week comes on Wednesday. The baseball team was scheduled to play at Missouri State, but due to cold temperatures, that game has been canceled. So they're not going to make that game up at Missouri State. That means the Red Wolves will not play a midweek game this week. Their next contest will be Friday, the series opener against UAPB. They'll take on the Golden Lions Friday at 3, Saturday at 2, and Sunday at 1 at Tomlinson Stadium.
Let's go.
The tennis team played a couple of matches on Wednesday. They were down in Texas. They played at Stephen F. Austin and ended up losing to Stephen F. 4-1, and then they came back and beat Lamar, swept them 4-0. They're going to be back in action. They're actually opening up conference play this weekend. Saturday at 10 a.m., they'll be at ULM. The men's golf team, they were in Las Vegas, finished 6th out of 15 teams at the Lake Las Vegas Invitational. Headed out west again early next week, March 11th and 12th. That'll be in Phoenix at the Grand Canyon Invitational. And then the women's golf team, they are currently competing at the UNF Collegiate. That's in Jacksonville, Florida.
I saw a picture of them at Sawgrass over the weekend. Punks.
Nice place to warm up for your tournament.
Yeah, it's a tough gig for these college golfers.
All right, we've covered a lot.
Yeah.
Do want to thank Jacob Pyatt coming in. Really enjoyed that visit. Thanks to our man Caleb Garner for setting that up. What else do we need to talk about
here? Just think that's it, man. Look, I know a bunch of people will be in Pensacola this weekend. Safe travels. And yeah, it's just weird to think that tournament's going to be going on. They'll have 4 days of games before an Arkansas State team plays in the Sun Belt tournament.
That's okay.
Yeah, and another day later for the women. So, you know, save it up for the weekend and go have a big time. Of course, we'll be here, too, for baseball. Look forward to seeing folks there, too. And, yeah, busy time. Not close to done. Look, and also early last week, you know, information came out about football ticket renewals. And in that, like if you didn't pay attention to that, in that is kind of information about getting Arkansas tickets. Everybody wants to know. Here's the deal. I mean, you're going to be hard-pressed, just being very honest, you're going to be hard-pressed to buy tickets in our allotment of tickets to the game against Arkansas if you're not a season ticket holder.
So get on it now.
Conversely, if you got your season ticket, you're going to have a real good chance to have enough priority points to get those tickets out of our allotment to the game down in Little Rock. Conversations going on about that game right now. Places to tailgate, all the things. We're having all these conversations right now, not just about our home schedule, but that road game. And don't forget, we are the road team in Little Rock.
But the allotment is?
Well, it's larger than normal, right? I mean, we're almost treating it kind of like a bowl. But out of that allotment, we have to do everything out of it. Our band comes out of that allotment. Player pass list comes out of it. I mean, what we got is what we got.
And it's coming.
Yep.
One of many big things to look forward to. Of course, we're really looking forward to this Sun Belt Conference tournament, and we'll be back to recap it all on our next edition of the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank.